You've read about this, heard about this, the Australian housing crisis. It rolls on, and with profound effect, from low-income families to the elderly to renters facing rent increase after rent increase. Social housing, the median wait time, this is figures just released, for Sydney's social housing is now more than 3 years. What do you do in the interim, you might ask? Against this backdrop, we head to Marrickville in Sydney's inner west, where the doors of a new development have swung open. This new project has led us to ask an unlikely question. Could churches contribute to easing our housing crisis? Not perhaps through the power of prayer. There are more practical possibilities. The development is named Nightingale Marrickville. Dan McKenna is the CEO of Nightingale. He joins us now. Dan, hello.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Nightingale is a name that will be familiar perhaps more to people in Melbourne than other cities, which I think is where the idea had first took wing.
Yes, absolutely. We started the best part of a decade ago, really, as a group of architects and designers kind of very frustrated at the system and the housing market and I guess what architects were being asked to do and all the key decisions being made well before they came into the room. So it was a pretty bold move from a handful of people to put their hands in their own pockets and buy a piece of land and you know, develop this idea of sustainability and affordability and community. Well,
tell us about that, how you went about achieving. I mean, those are,
yeah,
are wonderful and lofty goals,
yep,
but how did you do that?
Yeah, it's a lot of tenacity, a lot of naivety, I think, as well. We're not property developers by trade. So it was really just asking a hell of a lot of questions and pushing and knocking on a lot of doors. And so in that time, we've evolved and changed and grown and built a team of differing professionals. But we've still got that ethos, that not-for-profit business structure that we now run under to do more and more and more of these projects.
We talk about the housing crisis and that has many manifestations. I mean, how much of that is because so much of housing is based around profit in our culture, that is the driving motive for the construction of what is that sort of simple bedrock of human amenity?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the, I guess, the point of Nightingale is to really challenge that idea. And it's a very, very Australian idea. It's very deeply ingrained that...
It's a great Australian dream.
It's the great Australian dream. And we're sort of saying, well, it's a little bit broken. And, you know, it's actually very broken right now when there's average income owners who can't get a roof over their head or, you know, have to travel an hour and a half to their work every day. I think there's deep, deep societal problems that come out of that. So that's what we're challenging and pushing against.
Describe the building that does that.
So Nightingale Marrickville, which residents have moved in, it's a 100% affordable rental project in Marrickville in Sydney. The real heroes are an organisation called Fresh Hope Communities. So they're the welfare arm of Churches of Christ, New South Wales and ACT.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are, in effect, the developer of this project. They footed the bill. They went to court. They footed the lawyers' bills. They've been
went
fighting.
Went to court? Why?
So we started this journey with them in 2018 and people have moved in April 2024. So we had a bit of a battle, a significant battle through council and through what's called the Land Environment Court in New South Wales around heritage and around the demolition of a 100-year-old church on that site, which didn't have significant heritage value. And the irony was that the church brought that to us and said, hey, Nightingale, this is our mission. This is your mission. We actually think that, you know, whilst we are a church, we're here to serve our community.
Mm.
And right now, what our community needs in Marrickville is a roof over their head. So that sort of sparked something between our two organisations back in 2018. And then, yeah, we went on that long, long journey. There was a pandemic through the middle of it. But, yeah, it's an incredible project now to be standing in and now to welcome residents into and actually talk about it. So many different people are interested in it as a model, as a pilot project to look at underutilized land from churches.
Because
and
that's one of the key issues in this crisis is availability of space.
Absolutely.
Where do you put these buildings?
Absolutely. And so we look around and go, governments, local governments, churches, there are lots and lots of weird, small, big, underused bits of land in our cities that are next to train stations, next to jobs and schools and shops and things like that, that we're trying to pitch this project and show this project in that light that things can be done, I guess, if you shift the goalposts away from making money.
So it's all for rent. I mean, who's eligible within that community? What's the demographic mix?
As part of our planning application, planning permit, all the homes have to be rented at a maximum of 80% of market. And some of them are at that and some of them are less than that. And so there's also a wage threshold that people can't be earning over a certain amount for singles and for couples. And we've asked people to identify, you know, their salaries and their tax returns and things like that. And so getting to know them through that process has also been helpful.
So it's not social housing as such, but it's
affordable housing. Yeah.
And that's a departure too for Nightingale.
We typically sell a percentage of all of our homes to community housing providers who then on rent it to their databases of affordable housing or disability housing. We've been able to do that at a sort of 20% to 80% ratio within all of our buildings, which we think is really, really good. But this is 100% affordable rental.
The church had a church.
Yep. Yes.
And they approached you. Why did they choose Nightingale? What was their thinking?
I think they're very much aligned with our ethos and our values. Like, we position ourselves, it's not about making money, it's not about a profit, and it's not about a bank balance. We need to make projects work. We need to make sure people get paid fairly for their time. So there is a whole lot of work that goes into actually making projects stack up. But they really valued our ability to build community and design buildings sustainably and actually, I guess bring people together. That not a lot of for-profit traditional developers are particularly interested in, like we are.
I mean, it's an interesting aspect of much modern development, that's the way in which it isolates inhabitants. That seems to be one of the hallmarks of what you're trying to create as a modern developer or architect. Nightingale seeks to bring people into more of a sense of community.
Yeah, absolutely.
How do you do that architecturally?
Through, I guess, spending more money on communal spaces and designing in rooftop spaces and removing the individualized ideas of I need this, I need this, and I need this. It's sort of that, I guess, the great Australian dream is, you know, there's my fence and this is my yard and I need X, Y, and Z to live a happy, fruitful life. We're sort of challenging that. And part of that is a response to the climate crisis as well, and saying we actually all need to live smaller and we need to live with less and we need to live closer together. And so we historically don't have a really amazing apartment culture in this country other than super, super, super high-end stuff, which isn't what we do. So really it's about, I guess pulling things out of people's apartments. We pull out individual laundries and we put a shared rooftop laundry that everybody has to use and does use. And that reduces 3/4 of the washing machines and things that we have to put into people's apartments and also makes it cheaper for people.
So take us into Nightingale Marrickville. I mean, describe that building for us and describe as well the internal spaces.
Yeah, so it's 54 small footprint homes, so tile house apartments that we've done in a whole lot of our other buildings.
How small is that footprint?
So they're sort of 25 to 35 square metres. You know, really good for singles and couples. There are a handful of families that have moved into them, which we've talked at length with about, you know, physical space. And it sort of says a lot about where the rental market is in Sydney, that those people are really, really excited and keen to be part of this. Yeah, so a community of 54 small footprint homes divided into two. So there's two lifts, two stairs, two communal spaces, rooftop spaces, two laundries. We want to kind of maintain that intimacy where everyone kind of knows everyone's faces and everyone knows everyone's dogs and parents and friends, so that you do feel safe outside your front door and you feel comfortable outside your front door. It's not what's mine is mine. You know, we do share a lot of spaces and you need that when you're living in a small place.
Is there a process then in, I was going to say, choosing the people that inhabit that space?
Yes, but yes, absolutely. I don't know if choosing is the right word.
Well, that's the word I was sort of stumbling
on. Yeah, we run a ballot. We run a public ballot that's available for anyone to enter. We run public information sessions. We promote in our own way on Instagram, and we send out newsletters, and we don't kind of push further past that, because historically we've always had a massive oversubscription on any of our buildings. So we talk to people, we run Zoom sessions online, and then for this project we ran tours, we ran kind of a couple of days of open houses so people could actually get an understanding of the space and the size, and then we open up the ballot and we literally put names in a hat and we draw them out one by one and we call people one by one and let them know whether they've been successful or not.
Here's immediately a big difference based around profit, that you're not doing what a profit developer needs to do and sell things off a plan. Because they need the cash flow to fund the building.
Yep.
You've made the building.
Yep.
You're showing people the space that they could potentially inhabit.
Absolutely. And I think the other part of the ballot is we set the prices and we say, it is what it is. Come if you want to. We would love to have you here. Whereas a more traditional mindset would say, how much have you got? You know, like, okay, this person can pay this much. This person can pay this plus this. Okay, well, obviously we're going to take this person. Whereas
a traditional mindset wouldn't be doing an entire building as for rent.
And that's a new step for us as well. That's the only way that we've been able to make anything in Sydney work, because we're traditionally a built to sell developer. And so for us, that wasn't feasible in well-located sites within Sydney for a myriad of reasons. So the Fresh Hope Communities Churches of Christ relationship, them coming to us to collaborate on this project it sort of pushed us to actually question, how does a Nightingale work in a rental context?
And the community that you've
assembled.
Created.
Yes.
That, tell us about those people.
Yeah.
What's their profile?
It's been incredible over the last couple of months going through that, because we do meet people and we hear their stories and we understand their sensitivities and we talk about, I guess their journeys as to how they've gotten here. There was a lot of tears on ballot day, a lot of excitement, some people living with mates, some people couch surfing, a handful of people living in their cars, people sort of deep into their 40s and 50s having to move back into share houses and, share with four or five people that, they expressed to us that wasn't where they wanted to be. They wanted privacy in their own space. Other people living in share houses, sharing rooms.
And now they've moved in.
Yes, now they've moved in. So we were up there last week with the team. We had a big launch, and so it was really good to meet some people and see them take it and make it a home, because so much it's been, originally it was a church, then it was a dirty construction site for a really long time, and then it was a beautiful finished building, and now all of a sudden it's become people's homes, and there's artwork and photos and plants and life and, pets and things wandering around. So it's fantastic to see.
And the response from the church is happy how this has worked out.
Absolutely. So that, as part of the big launch, we invited a whole lot of VIPs. And so it was really great for them to be able to walk around and be able to meet people and actually sort of see it in the flesh. It isn't something that they've done before, and it took a lot of bold leadership from people at Fresh Hope Communities to, I guess, take them along this journey. But we would love to ideally do it again and again and again.
I mean, it's challenging so many of our assumptions on so many levels. I mean, about the sort of spaces in which we want to live, mm-hmm. about the way in which those are gathered together, about the way in which those things are constructed, about the places in which that can be done.
Yeah.
It's bold. How expandable is that idea? Of other organisations or other sources of land, are they...
Definitely.
Made themselves known?
Definitely. I think there's been a lot of knocks on the door in the last couple of months since we've started to get more and more attention on Nightingale Marrickville and that becoming a real thing. There's a lot of much bigger faith-based groups with much more land than Fresh Hope Communities and Churches of Christ, New South Wales, so that they're coming to us and saying, hey, we've got this car park. Hey, we've got this thing. And we see the problems. We are feeling the problems. People in our communities are facing these problems. Can you help us? We don't know what the first step is of 50,000 steps. I do hope that this is just the start of these projects.
Dan, congratulations and thank you.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Dan McKenna, CEO of Nightingale, and that new project just opened, Nightingale Marrickville, a home in the midst of so much housing crisis.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.